Good morning and welcome to Together in Christ, the radio ministry of Monroe Missionary Baptist Church. We would love to have you join us for worship today. Our Bible studies begin at 9 a.m. for all ages, followed by a service at 10:30 a.m., and then our evening discipleship service at 6:30 p.m. We are located at 14260 South Dixie Highway in Monroe, Michigan. Our phone number is 734-241-6860. You can also find more on our website, www.mmbconline.org. Here is a message from our discipleship pastor, Tim Icoangeli.
Have your Bibles. I hope you brought your Bible with you to worship today. If you do not have a Bible, please see me. I'll get you one. All right? It'll be yours to keep. But take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 19. As you turn to Psalm 19, I need to reiterate something Rob said. I'm very thankful for a church that allows us to do these sort of things. The youth camp cares about their kids. I'm very thankful for that, and so I thank you. I'm very thankful for all of the adults who went, took their time, took their vacation time, some maybe even unpaid. I'm thankful for our kitchen staff who wouldn't come up on stage, but that's all right. We forgive you. You guys worked hard this week. But I'm so thankful for our kitchen staff and just them preparing relentlessly and all that they did. It was just fantastic to see people come together and work for the glory of God and for the glory of the gospel. I want to start this morning in Psalm 19, and then we'll work our way through some other passages as well. But Psalm 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where the voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer." Today, so often, you will find people searching for things. Many of you here today are still searching for things, even though you're 80 years old, 85 year old. Maybe you feel like you're searching for more things because you can't remember where you put them, right? But that is life. So many people out there searching and trying to find all these different things, the big questions of life. How did life begin? How big is the universe? Is there life out there somewhere? What am I supposed to be doing with my life? All these questions seem so difficult and seem so hard, but the fact of the matter that we find in Scripture is that God did not intend it to be that way. God is not hidden, and God has not hid from us. God wants to be known. God wants you to know him. God has made a way for himself to be known to us. And so as you see in this passage, and I'm going to just kind of skim through it together, in Psalm 19, God has shown us that he has revealed himself, first of all, in creation. And now something that you can't get caught up in, God has not revealed the gospel plan through creation. Okay? You cannot look at a tree and figure out, oh, God sent his son, perfect, to die on a cross for my sins, and he conquered death, hell, and the grave, and now he is our mediator between God and man. You're not going to see that in a tree. But what you are going to see in a tree is that there must be something out there greater than me. God has made that very evident and very clear in all of creation. And now, of course, that has been attacked for a very long time, and it continues to be attacked today. But according to his word in Psalm 19, we see that in creation, God has revealed himself. As you get to the end of verse 6, there is nothing hidden from its heat. Just talking about the sun. And as you see creation and all of its glory and all of its perfectness and how everything just works together, and if things were just a little off, how it just wouldn't work anymore, it should point to us the fact and the truth that God exists, that there is a God. But God did not leave us just to general revelation, just to creation. God wanted to be known, as I said, and so God also gave to us his word, which we have today, which many of you have in front of you, which many of you have multiple copies of in your home. God has given us his word so that we can know him even better. Through his word, as you see in verse 7 through verse 11, and I don't want to read through all of it, but that the law of the Lord is perfect. And because it is perfect, it shows how to convert the soul. It teaches us salvation. It teaches us grace. It teaches us his law. It teaches us everything that we need to know for life's big questions. Now, I don't think that you go to God's word to fix your car, right? God has given us other knowledge and other wisdom for those things. But to life's most important questions, to our greatest needs, God has given us the answer in his word. And as you study his word and you get to John chapter 1, the Gospel of John, you see that God's word became flesh and dwelt among us in his son, Jesus. And so God was perfectly revealed in Christ so that he can be known to us. I hear people today still, I hear it on TV, people who will say, if there is a God, he's probably just out there. He doesn't care if you win this game. You know, he doesn't care about these little things in your life. He would have much greater things to worry about. Those people are sadly mistaken. They're minimizing God. God is so big and God is so great that he cares about every single detail of your life and in my life. And that is why as you continue on in his word, you get to a lot of different passages, but we went to Hebrews chapter 4, and I'm not going to ask you to turn there today, but in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 through 16, you see that God wants to know you so well, but in fact, God knows you perfectly well. Many people try to run and hide from the fact that for things from God, and probably you do that as well, I would guess this week, you yourself have tried to the best of your abilities to hide some sort of sin. You've tried to hide it from your spouse. You've tried to hide it from your kids. You've tried to hide it from your parents. You've tried to hide it from God. And the fact of the matter is, we're pretty good at that. We're pretty good at hiding things from people. We're pretty good at trying to look tough, and we're pretty good at trying to look like we know what we're talking about. But the fact of the matter is, as you look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 through 13, the Bible is very clear that you simply cannot hide anything from God. God has created you, God has made you, and God completely knows you. And it tells us in Hebrews chapter 4 that his word is a double-edged sword, piercing the bone, getting down to the marrow, which is saying, you see yourself reflected when you read God's word. And I'm convinced that's why a lot of us here this morning are not faithful in reading God's word every day, because we do not like what we're reading, because it reveals to us some truths about us that we know are there, but we've pushed it so far down that people don't see it and we don't want to see it. We want to forget about it. But the truth of the matter is, you cannot hide from God. You cannot run from God. And so Hebrews chapter 4 is all about the writer urging you, urging the church, urging Christians, run away from unbelief, Run from the sin of unbelief and run to the grace-filled mercy of obedience and belief. Run back to that safety that is there. How often in your life, Christian, do you struggle with unbelief? God, where? I don't have money. Where is it going to come from? God, what about my kids? How are they going to be come up? And how are they going to be this? And how are they going to do that? You see, we struggle all our life with unbelief. But in Hebrews chapter 4, the Bible tells us that's sin. It is sinful to not believe God's truths and God's promises and in God's sovereignty and in God's care. And so God has made himself known, but something else that we must understand is that God knows us. And it should make you squirm. But it should also, at the same time, make you comfortable. I know that doesn't make much sense, but it's just the truth of the matter of God's word. Some of you are going to squirm because you haven't settled that issue of sin in your life, but some of us in here today have. God has poured out his grace in our life, and we're thankful that he knows everything about us. We're thankful that he reveals to us sins that were in secret, like it said in Psalm 19, my secret faults. God, reveal those to me so that I can grow closer to you. That needs to be our heart's cry as we try to run to God instead of hiding from God. But God doesn't just leave us there either. We see that God loves us in such a way that he wants us to know him, but he's made a way for us to know him, as I already mentioned. And so at camp, I preached a sermon on Mephibosheth and David, which I've actually done here before. It was a little different there because I didn't have my notes. I just kind of winged it because I had something else totally planned, but just because of some events of the day, God changed my mind. So we changed it. But if you remember the story of Mephibosheth at all, you will see God's love for you in Mephibosheth. We see King David searching out somebody from the family of Jonathan because David and Jonathan loved each other. But what we fail to remember sometimes is Jonathan was the son of Saul, who was the king before David. And as Rob mentioned earlier, normally what would take place is kings would go and make sure everybody was dead who might come after their throne. But instead, David sought out Mephibosheth. He sought him out and he found where he was and he sent people after Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth, in obedience, responded to the king and came. Now, the issue was he couldn't walk there because he could not walk. He was lame in his feet. And so somebody had to take him there and carry him there. And when David laid his eyes on Mephibosheth, what would have been right and what would have been true and what exactly should have happened is David should have said, "You are useless to me. You can't even walk. Why would I do anything for you? Please go kill him and get him out of my sight." But instead, what David did is he poured his love and his grace on Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth responded in faith. And we see grace poured out in a way that was undeserved. And for the rest of Mephibosheth's life, a man who could do nothing for himself, he sat at King David's table and dined with the king the rest of his life. Now think about who probably was at that table. It was only people of great importance, yet here sat Mephibosheth, worthy of death, in the world worthy of nothing, but yet worthy of the king's presence. And we shared and we see in God's word that in that story, you and I are Mephibosheth. You are not King David. Jesus is King David. And for some odd reason, Jesus would look at you and would look at me in our sin and in our guilt and in our worthlessness and say, "Listen, you have worth to me. I love you." That is a message that we don't hear much today. That is a message, sadly, our students don't even hear in their homes oftentimes. Our students instead hear, "I wish you were more like your brother. Man, when I was your age, I would do this and I would do that." They hear they have no worth. Part of that is true. Apart from Christ, they have no worth. But in Christ, they have love and grace and worth. And God wants to use them. And that's what brought us to our next thing, and we look in the book of Proverbs. And God doesn't just leave us in his love, even though that would be good enough. Instead, God says in the book of James, ask wisdom from me, and I will give it to you. I'm not just going to leave you as some poor, you know, here, save you, and here, come eat here. No, I'm going to make you, I'm going to have you go and do. And if you ask wisdom of me, I'm going to give it. Now, I think this is something we all fall short of. When's the last time you really asked God for wisdom? And I'm not talking stock market wisdom or anything like that. I'm talking, God, I want your wisdom poured out on me so that I can serve you faithfully. God, pour your wisdom out on me so I know what direction you are pointing me, so I know where you are leading me, where you are guiding me. God says if you ask of that, he will give it to you. Now, that is not for the unbeliever. So today, if you're here and you are not a Christian, you've never been saved by the grace of God, that is not a prayer that you can pray and receive. You cannot have the wisdom of God until you have the forgiveness of the Savior. It will not happen. But God wants to pour his wisdom out on our lives so that we can have an impact in the world that we live in, which then leads us to the last section, the last day that we did at camp. And that's Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. So I'm going to ask you to turn there in your Bibles. Matthew's the first book in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 5 is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16, this is a passage, even if you're not a churchgoer, you probably have heard before. But it says, Now it's talking to believers. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Something that needs to be understood today is our world is dark. Now, something that needs to be understood with that is this. Our world is not darker today than it has ever been. That is something that we like to say. I don't know why we like to say that, but it's just not true. I can go in history and point to times that were much darker, where there was much more rampant sin, much more hate. But still, today, our world is very dark. And there are those who are wandering around in the darkness. But praise be to God, because of salvation, because of Jesus, those who have received his grace now walk in light. And now in this passage, we see that there are some benefits of light. One of the things is being in the light keeps you from danger. And we can talk about this physically as well. When we think of light, we think of safety and we think of security. I don't care how manly you are and how strong you are. At some point in your life, you've sprinted up basement steps because it was dark and you just felt like something was behind you. I mean, that just happens. Everybody does that. I've had some times in the woods with a gun where all I could think was, I'm going to run. I think there's something behind me. It's just a scary place to be sometimes. The dark is not welcoming. The dark is not something we want to be a part of. Light makes us safe. Light makes us secure. And having the light of Jesus does the same thing for us because it protects us from our sins. It protects us from ourselves. The Bible tells us that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This book right here that I have in my hands will guide you every step of the way. It will help reveal to you things that you need to know, things that you need to understand in order to maneuver in this world, in order to have safety. And the only safe place is in the arms of the Father. And that is where God's word sends us and takes us. And so we see that there is safety. But one other thing that we understand about light is that light attracts others. When we see light in other people, we want to be with them. We want to be surrounded by them. And so as I become a Christian and understand some things, I start to see it in other people. And we are drawn together into a place like this to be the body of Christ together. You and I on the same mission. you and I understanding what Christ has done in our life. And apart from him, we would still be wandering in the dark. But thanks and praise be to God that he has brought us together to serve together, to make an impact in this dark world. And this is where God's word sometimes can be very confusing, but God uses this light to attract other people in, and God has designed it this way. The fact of the matter is, as you serve Christ and as you try to share your light the best you can, and many of you have experienced this, people are gonna push back. People are going to hate it. People are not gonna wanna be a part of it. I want you to think of it this way. It's kind of like when you're in a dark place for a long time, and then I would come up to you and shine my big lumen flashlight in your eyes. How would that feel? Get that, whoa, it's gotta be slow. It's a slow process. And so we push that light away. It's the same in this dark world. You go and share the gospel with somebody who's lost in their sin, and I can pretty much guarantee, maybe a few times this won't happen, they are going to push you away because they're lost in their darkness. But the pastor, Martin Lloyd-Jones, he has a quote that I really like, and it says this. It says, "The glory of the gospel is that when the church is absolutely different from the world, she invariably attracts it. It is then that the world is made to listen to her message, though it may hate it at first." That is God's design, and that is God's plan. As you are persecuted, as you are hated, it is going to happen that some will be drawn to it. Some, by the grace of God, will start to respond to the message that you've been sharing or to the way that you have been living. They will be drawn in. The example that I gave to the students was the best example I could think of at the moment. But in high school, I wasn't the best at sharing the gospel, but everybody in my school knew that I was a Christian. They would ask me questions, you know, "Have you slept with your girlfriend yet?" And that finally stopped. Tim doesn't do that. Don't ask Tim to come to the party. He's not gonna drink. He's not gonna do that stuff. He's a church guy. I mean, that's what they would say. And it was fine, and I got pushed away. I didn't get asked to go to parties after a while. It wasn't because they didn't like me. They just knew that I didn't do that. But something that I shared with our students is this. Today, those same people will come to me when trouble happens. When someone dies in their family, who do they ask to do their funeral? Me. Why? Because light attracts. When trouble hits, they seek safety and shelter in the light. And for some reason, God used me to share a little light with people. Even though I was trying not to, he did. Church, we are called to share the light. God does not hide himself. What makes us think that we should hide from others? I don't know if I shared it in here or not, or where I shared it. I don't know, I talk too much. But the Benedict option, have you heard of that before? There's a book out there right now that is very big in Christianity called The Benedict Option. And The Benedict Option is saying that maybe it is time for us as the church to retreat and to pull back into our own communities and to have little Christian communities here and Christian schools here and Christian this and to do our best not to interact with the outside world, because the way that we are going, pretty soon in our country, we will be persecuted against. We may be thrown in jail, and it's time for us to protect ourselves and to protect our children so that we can pass on this faith. There's a big problem with that. And it's Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. It says, "As a Christian, you are light. Share your light. You are a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. So why would we try to hide ourselves? God has made himself known. We must make him known." We go into a community that is dark, that is lost. And Jesus says, share the gospel. Do the things that I have called you to do. I think I've told you guys this before. One of the things that bugs me the most is when people, "Pastor Tim, I need to talk to you." Okay, I don't know what God would have me do. I don't either. What do you mean? I can tell you some things I can guarantee he would have you do. 100% beyond a shadow of a doubt. You do not need to pray about it. You do not need to seek it out. And one of those is this: read your Bible. Read it. You're sitting there trying to answer these huge questions. What would God have me do? But yet you never consult his word. Read his word. Number two, pray. Seek his face. Let him know your needs. Let him know your desires. Let him know your wants. And then let his word change your desires. Let his word change your wants. Number three, be a part of a church. I don't mean attend on Sundays. I mean be a part of a local church. Serve God faithfully in the midst of it. Let your light shine here amongst believers. Let it be recharged. Let it be rekindled. Be a part of a Sunday school class. Be a part of a small group. You cannot do church in this setting right here. I can preach and teach, and God's word can be challenged, but you need others. You need accountability, and it happens in a small group setting. I could keep going on with things that God's word clearly states and says. But church, we are never going to have an impact in this dark world if we hide our light, if we do not let it shine. And my fear, this is a challenge to you, my fear is that these students up here have learned to hide their light from their parents the best, because that's where they see it. With their parents in their homes is where they see how this thing really plays out. They only see me every once in a while. Some of these kids only see me at camp. I won't see them again the rest of the year. I won't get to teach them. Our Sunday school teachers will not get to teach them. They're going to learn it in their homes. And so for those of you who've asked friends to come to camp, for those of you as parents who knew some of these kids up here, maybe as friends or whatever, teach them what it means to let your light shine. Stop complaining about politics. Stop complaining about economics. Stop complaining about what this world should be or used to be. Instead, let your light shine and let God work through you and let him change the world how he wants it to be. That's the only way it's going to happen. I've challenged our students this week. I said, you guys are going to go off into the world. And I said, my prayer is that you guys don't become pastors, that you guys don't become missionaries. But my prayer is this. I want them to become teachers. I want them to become doctors and lawyers and engineers and electricians and all these different things. And I want them to share the light right where they are at. I don't get to interact with dark people all the time. I'm a pastor, and I'm bogged down with Christians' problems. It's them who are going to be with the lost. So share the light. Be a Christian where you are. Let them see it. Show them that God is not hidden, that he has revealed himself through his word and through his son, Jesus Christ. Are you busy hiding? Is that what you do? Christian, a lot of your anxiety, a lot of your stress is probably because you're not being what you're made to be. Instead, you're falling back into the old way of the old man, of the old Adam. You're letting sin reign. You're letting sin bog you down when the Bible tells us, in fact, you are free in Christ. Stop hiding. Be who God has led you to be. Be who God has saved you to be through his son, Jesus, and watch how God will work through a lame Mephibosheth like you.
If this broadcast has affected your life today, or if you have any questions about anything that you have heard, please feel free to write us at info@mmbconline.org or like and comment on our Facebook page. This has been Together in Christ, the radio ministry of Monroe Missionary Baptist Church. Have a blessed day.